you will, in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I said tonight we'd start talking about suffering. Is there a reason to suffering? Now, two questions that leave us confused a lot of times. Why do bad things happen to good people? And why does God allow good things to happen to bad people? Well, turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 10. The words of God say, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this passage of Scripture. Lord, even though it's short, it speaks volumes about our lives and about suffering. And Heavenly Father, as Christians, we often wonder sometimes, why do we suffer? And why do good things happen to bad people? God, we just ask you to touch our hearts. Show us in the days to come as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, why we suffer. And Lord, may we grow from this experience and this study. And we'll give you all the glory, for it is in Christ's name. For to you be honor, glory, and power forever. Amen. Well, I want to look at this subject of suffering for a little while and what the Bible says about suffering. You see, many of us have the wrong idea about suffering. When we think of the question, why do Christians suffer, somehow or the other, we think that God is punishing us. Amen? We feel like we've been corrected by God sometimes. And even if we're not careful, we will let bitterness rise up within us. We'll get bitter towards God. We'll get bitter towards the people around us and the things of God, the church, or whatever the case might be. As for the question, why does God allow good things to happen to bad people? There's just one word: mercy. Our God is a merciful God. And because of his mercy, he allows good things to happen, even to bad people. Someone said in our Bible study this morning in Sunday school, it rains on the just and the unjust. Well, that's true. And Jesus said, if you look over with me just a moment, in Matthew, I believe that's the passage of Scripture about the just and the unjust, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it does say that, Matthew 5, verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. So Jesus is simply saying, you know, he loves people. He's a merciful God. I thank God that he showed me mercy when I was lost. Amen. I thank God that one day I heard the word of God and it convicted my heart. And he gave me the grace and the amount of faith to trust him as my Lord and Savior. Now the answer for why does God allow bad things to happen to good people can be summed up in just one word: ministry. Ministry. In 1 Peter, we read it just a few moments ago, it says this, "But the God of all grace," but the God of all grace, who has called us, he called us unto an eternal glory by Christ Jesus. God has allowed us to come to him. And because of that, we have the promises of God that you heard a while ago. Many of us spoke about that. He called us, After that ye heard, yet ye have suffered, it says, for a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Now, I like those words. Someone said, a block of steel. A block of steel is worth about $10. When you make horseshoes out of it, it's worth about $50. If you make needles out of it, it's worth about $300. If you take that and hammer it out and make springs for watches, it's worth about $50,000. Simply, the more steel is pounded, the more steel is beaten and hammered and polished, the more it's worth. You see, someone said Christians are like tea bags. Until we dipped in hot water, we're not very good for nothing. Peter says, God's perfect, established, strengthens, and settles us, and makes us. And he uses things in life to polish us, to put us under pressure, so to speak, to press down on us, to make us what we should be. The answer, Peter uses the form of suffering in this passage of Scripture about 15 times. And he says, is there a reason for our suffering? And the answer is, yes, there is a reason for suffering. It's to achieve and accomplish the things in life that God wants us to be. Now, every one of us in here had probably suffered in some way, form, or fashion. Let us think about suffering. And first of all, tonight, I want you to think about the different expressions of suffering. The different expressions of suffering. Look at what it says in Peter, 1 Peter 4:15. Just kind of follow these passages of Scripture. Peter, you might want to write them down. 4:15. It says this, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. The first thing I want us to think of is we suffer legally. Suffer legally. Think about that. He says, as a murderer or thief or evildoer or busybody. Sometimes we suffer as a result of us committing a crime or breaking a law. Peter said, don't bring suffering upon yourself legally. Now, let me ask you a question. Some of you said, well, I haven't ever murdered anybody, or I'm not a thief or an evildoer. Well, you might be a busybody. We have some of them. Baptists fall in that category, unfortunately. But you know what? We are reminded by this passage of Scripture, when we break the law, we have to pay the price, don't we? And some of us suffer. You go down through the highway down here, speeding 60 miles an hour, you go down through there that way, and guess what? You're going to get a ticket. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get a ticket, it makes me suffer. You suffer, don't you? Having to pay the consequence for the crime. So, legally, we suffer many times. Then unjustly, look at 1 Peter 2:19. In 1 Peter 2:19, it says this, for this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, how many of you have ever suffered wrongfully? Well, the word wrongfully speaks of unjustly, suffering without a cause. Some people say, well, I don't know why I deserved this. I'm suffering, and I don't know why I got this suffering. Just not long ago, I was watching a television program, and it was about a man who'd been in prison for 20 years. DNA came back, and he was found innocent of the crime through the DNA testing, and they let him go. Well, you can't take that 20 years back, can you? I would say then he lost 20 years of his life suffering unjustly from something that he didn't do. And sometimes in life, we suffer wrongfully. not our cause. We were wrongfully charged. We were wrongfully come under attacks. I know many times in the life of the church, pastors fall under attack by someone else's life or words that he suffers, or someone in the church has gossiped about someone else and they're suffering wrongfully for the hateful words that go through. So sometimes we suffer legally and sometimes we suffer unjustly because of criticism or because of hate. And then if you read on in the Bible, look at 1 Peter 3:14. It says this, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." So we suffer spiritually, folks. We suffer legally, unjustly, and spiritually. Peter describes here in this passage of Scripture a suffering that comes as a result of a relationship of Jesus Christ. And throughout history, God's children have suffered because of Jesus Christ, because of that relationship with Jesus Christ. I looked these men up. Andrew, he was crucified on an X-shaped cross. He suffered for the cause of Christ. Barnabas was stoned to death. Bartholomew was beaten. James was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple wall and then stoned. Peter was crucified upside down. All of God's disciples suffered for the spiritual reasoning of giving their lives to Jesus Christ. I'm just saying you may be suffering one day spiritually. We have our freedom now. What I said this morning in the message may not be able to be said one of these days. I know in some countries, if you say the political realm is guilty, then they can have you beaten or thrown in jail or put in prison. Fox's Book of Martyrs, I don't know if you've read that. It's a good book to turn into and look at the saints of the past ages, the accounts of Christian suffering. They said some were sawed in two, some were boiled in oil, some were staked out and drowned as the waters and the tides come in, some were roasted on fire, some were filleted to death. Let me tell you, Christians, early Christians, suffered for the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now when you see how Christians have given a sacrifice for the life of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that in John 15:10, Jesus says, "Don't think it odd if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So people, that is some grounds of suffering. We suffer legally, we bring it on ourselves. We suffer unjustly from things that might happen to us in life, or words of hate or criticism. And then we suffer spiritually because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if any of you suffered in that areas or not in your life, but those areas we suffer. And then we suffer divinely. 1 Peter 4. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 19. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." You see, some suffering is divine. It's because of God's plan and purpose for your life. Suffering, here he says, can be sent and sanctioned by God. Suffering can be God's will for our life. So, can one suffer tonight? He can suffer legally, he can suffer unjustly, he can suffer spiritually and divinely. So those are the categories I wanted to look at tonight that I found here in the Scripture that we suffer by. Now, everyone suffers in life, I just believe. I don't think you will make it through this old life without suffering in one of those ways. You might suffer divinely, you might suffer spiritually, you might suffer unjustly, or you might suffer legally. That is the different expressions of sufferings that we face in life. Then also I want you to know the definite experience of suffering is found in this Word of God. In 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you." Now, he uses that word, fiery trial. And in that word, fiery trial, speaks of the word suffering. He says, don't count it strange when the fiery trial. Fires, think about, when we think about a fiery trial, we think in the word term here, it was used of a smeltering furnace where they put in lead, where they put in gold, and it was heated and melted down and refined. They say the more you bring heat on gold and melt it down, the more the impurities live out of it. So Jesus says, don't think it strange when you fall into the fiery trials of life. Fiery trials are experienced in our Christian life. He says, think it not strange. Strange means alien. Don't think don't be surprised when something like this happens in your life. Don't think it, be a surprise when a refining of God's work comes to your life, when a trial comes upon you and you're literally put under pressure, literally the fiery parts of life come upon you, totally where you have nowhere else to turn but to Jesus Christ. He says Christians suffer, and they suffer greatly, even in the face of death. Don't count it strange. I think about those foxes, Book of Martyrs. They could have escaped. You read their stories, and all they'd have to say is, oh, we deny Christ. They'd have been let go. They wouldn't have been roasted. They wouldn't have been boiled and all. They wouldn't have watched their wives and their children cooked. They would have relieved them from that. But they so loved the Lord. They so loved their faith in God that they said, no, we will not deny our God. Now, I'll tell you what. Christians today, I don't know if our people in our churches today would do that. I think we have relaxed. I think we've got so comfortable when it comes to someone putting your child in a fire and roasting that child in front of you. I think most in our churches today would deny their faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, that's hard. But God says, don't think it strange when you're put under these kinds of pressures. You see, Job, think of the story of Job. Upon a day, the devil came by, and he was there in the line, and God says, what are you up to, Lucifer? He said, I'm just here. You see, your man Job, you blessed him, and that's the reason he serves you. And God says, no, Job is faithful. The Bible calls Job a perfect, upright, God-fearing, evil-hating man. Now, why would one who has been blessed by God, why would God say, okay, have you thought about Job? You can try him in every way, but you can't take his life is mine. Job lost everything. You know the story. Job lost his children. Job lost his cattle. Job lost everything. His friends said, Job, why don't you just deny Christ and die? That's what his wife said. His friends said, you must have done something awful bad, see, to cause all this suffering upon you. They thought just like we think today. What did you do? What sin did you commit to make God mad at you? And he had done nothing, the Bible says. And yet he suffered as a Christian under God's divine sanction, where God said, okay, you can do anything you want to him and his family, but you can't take his life. In the experience of life, the Bible says, don't think it strange when things try you. Notice that it says, which is to try you, not which may try you. Man, we can expect something in life. We can expect suffering in life. And when we recall James 1:2, James doesn't say if you fall into trials, but when you fall into trials. Someone says, well, the only thing we can count on in life is what? Death and taxes. Well, I got something else. You can count on suffering. Death, taxes, and suffering. And Christians often falter. Christians often fail at this thing called suffering. And we get mad at the church. We get mad at God. And we find ourselves out of God's will for our life. You can expect suffering. That is the experience of suffering in our life. And then there's the divine effect of suffering. In 1 Peter 5:10, I know I've wrote out a lot of scriptures here, back to the one we started with, and I hope you wrote them down. If not, I'll give them to you at a later date, probably next week. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says that again, that the God of all grace, who called you into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you for His glory. The divine effect of suffering is found right here. The purpose of our suffering. What is the purpose of our suffering? Peter says, after you have suffered for a while. Notice it's only for a while, folks. Praise God. I like that passage of Scripture. I didn't mention it because when somebody wants to give testimonies, I always want to hear from the congregation instead of me. You hear from me all the time. But I like the promise that he says, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the fire, you will pass through the waters. You will pass through the fire. But that's a great thing. He said, I'll go with you. God is always with us in the waters of life when they overcome us. And God is always with us when we go through the fires of life. That's a promise of God. There is a cause and effect. And it's found in 1 Peter 1:6. Look at it. Let's read verse 5. 1 Peter 1:5-6. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. Folks, there's a cause and effect. The words if need be are there. Peter is telling us that certain needs in our life draw us or are met through this thing called suffering. And have you ever thought about that? Certain needs in our life are met through this thing called suffering. I was thinking this week about our older people. Dennis put that in a good way a while ago. People our age. That's what he said. Certain people in our church, certain people in my past that have went through outstanding suffering events. They suffered in life through the loss of husband. They suffered in life through the loss of children. They've suffered in life through the loss of homes, finances, and yet I think of the people I think of, I won't call any names, but the people I think of, and you might know some of them, lived exceptional Christian lives. And I thought, how in the world could they just keep on going? One difficulty right after the other. One tragedy right after the other. And I thought, what made them that way? What made these people live exceptional Christian lives who were rooted and grounded in the Word of God, who were rooted and grounded in the Church of God? And without any question, it came to me. They all had one thing in common. they had overcome fiery trials in life. Every one of them had come through those fiery trials in life. And not a one of them had forsaken God. I knew a lady who lost 3 children. One to war, one to sickness of cancer, and one to an accident. All at a young age. And I thought, how in the world can somebody go through that? And I watched her husband die of cancer slowly over 10 years. And she never once gave up on God. And I see people all the time say, well, preacher, I don't know why God's brought this upon my life. There is no why to the answer. It's how do we go through it? And we go through it because God is in control of our lives. And when I hear people say, I hope my children never have to endure hardships, I don't agree with that. I hope and pray that my children live a long life. But to go through life and not ever have any hardships, you know what hardships are? Hardships refine us, like I said a while ago. Hardships make us enjoy the blessings of God that we have today. That's what hardships do for us. And folks, we ought not get mad at God because we have to go through some hardships. After all, didn't He go through hardships for us? Let's look at 1 Peter 1:7. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. It's not about what we deserve in life. People say all the time, well, I don't deserve this. Well, you don't. You don't deserve it. You deserve death. It's not about what we deserve, but it's what God deserves. That suffering might be found to what? It says it a while ago. To, in verse 11 of chapter 5. To Him be the glory and dominion. It's God who deserves the glory in our life, folks. It's God that deserves the honor in our life. And that honor and glory will be at the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why good people suffer. That we might give glory and honor to God.